The Dunedin study was set up in the 1970s to learn more about our children's health and development. The idea was that you pick a group of children and follow them from birth and see if you can work out links between what they do and what happens to them. Well, it's still going. The original participants are now adults themselves, and some of them have their own children. And researchers are collecting data now from this next generation. Dr. Helena McAnally is the study's lead author and manager of the Next Generational Study, and she joins me now. Hi, Helena.
Hi, Jesse.
Nice to talk to you. And you've got a bit of news today, something that you've discovered in your research. What's that?
So we've been working on this for a wee while. We started collecting data from the children of Dunedin study members back in 2007, and we collected data up to 2019. And recently we've looked at who they've been living with and how many times they've moved house and what their care arrangements are with their parents.
And what have you discovered?
So we found that lots of people experienced changes to caregiving arrangements with their parents. Over half of our participants did. And that most people have moved house, so that was almost everybody. 94% of people by the age of 15 have moved at least once, and some have moved multiple times. And most people have also lived with someone who's not a nuclear family member. So when we say nuclear family, we mean biological parent or biological sibling.
So what's the significance of what you've discovered?
Well, I think it remains really important to keep this in mind, that often when we think about dealing with young people, we might think of them as existing in sort of the point in time in which we're interacting with them. And we just know that families change and are more fluid than sort of that one-off, what does your family look like right now? It might not be the same in a year's time or a month's time. So I think that's an important thing to keep in mind, and just to recognise that for all young people, families are very fluid things that are constantly changing.
So can you go into a bit more detail about what you've discovered, what you've seen in this research?
Sure. So we looked at whether or not people lived with their biological parents and what their care arrangements with those parents were. And we found that most people had experienced some changes. And these changes are really, really common, and they're not necessarily a good thing or a bad thing, they're just a reality of life. So maybe a parent gets a job in a different city and they move to that city, you know, a few months before everybody else in the family moves with them, or maybe a young person gets an after-school job and that job is closer to one parent's house than the other, and so they sort of change the percentage of time they might be staying with a parent just out of, you know, convenience.
So you've noticed a change over that period, 2007 to 2019?
No. So all of our participants are 15 or around 15 when we see them. So what we see is the Dunedin study, obviously, were all born between 1972 and 73. So they were all born in the same year, but they didn't have children in the same year. So when their children turn 15, they come in and talk about their whole life over that period of time. And so some of our young people came in 2007. That was when they were 15. Mm. Other people didn't come in until 2019 when they were 15, depending on when.
Okay. And so when you're talking about the change in their living circumstances, what are you comparing that to?
Their whole life. So we're talking about 180 months from birth to age 15. And just looking at what happens during that period of time.
And why are you interested in that?
Well, it's really descriptive, but I think, like I said, it's an important thing for people that work with young people to be aware of, that family life isn't static. And we know that lots of agencies that are supporting families and supporting young people kind of don't really tap into that constant change in fluidity and flexibility that families have, partly because data like census data catches families at a point in time. So we're really lucky that we have this 180 months worth of information about someone's life, well, about 612 someone's lives, and we've been able to look at kind of a more life course sort of impression of what people experience rather than just today is when you've come into contact with me. What does your family look like right now? So
it's a pretty good number, 612 kids.
We're pretty pleased. We're very lucky that the Dunedin study participants have been willing to let us contact their children and ask if they want to take part in their study as well. So yeah, we're pretty pleased with that.
And what are your plans? What else are you going to study about these children of the Dunedin study children?
So we've looked at a couple of things already around health outcomes, and this is the kind of thing that we want to sort of keep moving forward and looking at. So the Dunedin study has got such a wide range of data, and we've tried to collect a similar range of data, even though we've only seen the young people once. So we have data on dental health, for example. So that's one thing that we might want to look at is, you know, if your parents have good dental health, do you have good dental health, or is that somehow changed between generation and that? So there's a lot that we could look at.
Is it the study that keeps on giving, that Dunedin study?
Yeah, and I think, you know, it keeps on giving partly because of a lot of hard work by, you know, people like Professor Poulton, who's the study director, and partly from the generosity of the study members who, yeah, they've given up a lot of their time over the years to help out us. And obviously the findings from the study are informing not just New Zealand policy and practice, but internationally useful as well. So we're very lucky to be involved with it.
And in terms of this research and what you've just discovered, I mean, I'm sure you, it's not controversial to say that this is common sense, really. I mean, that the that there's a range of different family setups. Why is it so important to get it in ink, to have it confirmed?
I think, again, it's useful for policy and practice and people that are interacting with young people and their families to have it in ink, to be able to say, this is not just this young person or this case or this situation. This is a general, you know, experience of young people, and this should be recognised. I think it's useful for agencies to think about in terms of kind of making sure that they're being consistent about what they view family as, and are flexible about that as well.
Great. Hey, congratulations on what you've discovered, and keep up the good work.
Okay, thank you very much for your time and interest.
Dr. Helena McAnally, lead author on the Next Generational Study. Well, she's lead author on the Dunedin Study, but manager of the Next Generational Study.